Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaver. You can tell I am not at home. I have been busy. I'm on a work assignment. I am here in the big Las Vegas. And so anyway, that's why I'm coming to you a bit late. It's 3 hours difference here. By the way, just since we're speaking about Las Vegas, I unfortunately am not going to be able to do CrimeCon this year. My caseload is runneth over. So anyway, I will be working. But I know everybody will have a great time down there. They always do. That's beside the point. We're here, of course, to talk about Nancy Guthrie. And she was abducted on February 1st, unfortunately, in the wee hours of the morning, I call it, 1:47. Her camera was yanked off of her door stoop right next to her door. And at 2:12, there was a perpetrator seen on camera. She had multiple cameras on that roof. And then ultimately, at 2:28, her pacemaker disconnected from her phone / watch, which are all connected. So unfortunately, that's when she was likely taken from the house. There was blood on the front porch that we've all seen. I feel absolutely certain now that at least certain parts of that blood were expirated. Some others that people were showing, I think, are just droplets hitting one after another and making a pattern. But certainly the expirated blood is that fine mist we see, not necessarily where all those droplets are happening right together, but rather I could see it separately from that, and really disconcerting because that tells me two things. One thing that's great, she was alive. But the thing that tells me that's bad is that she had internal bleeding. Look, you're not going to expirate blood unless you're bleeding from within in some part of her body. So coughing, of course, that could be lungs, her throat. There's so many possibilities, but it tells me that this was very violent enough to cause internal damage. Of course, with somebody with very thin skin due to blood thinners, that blood you would expect with somebody being taken, that would be violent in a sense. But I was very disappointed to, I think, confirm that there's expirated blood there. Now, I had a very specific show put together for tonight, but I do want to take a slight veer off because I know a lot of people are talking about an individual that called into a YouTube channel. And I've had a chance to listen to some of it. I don't think, as taken with everything as I think some people were. Do you guys remember when there was a YouTuber, I can't remember his name right now, right this moment. It was like T-I-R something, not T-I-R, but Trevor. I don't think he's even around anymore. I think he was also a singer. But nevertheless, in fact, I think at least once I remember I was at a wrestling meet and he called me and said, "Hey, we're going live," about the Idaho case. But nevertheless, I don't know if you remember him when he said that Brian Koberger had called into his channel and all of that that went on with that. I don't know if you remember that, but there was a huge to-do about that. And of course, it ended up being nothing. And I know that there's some concern, I think, because in this case, I guess part of this, or maybe all of it, or some part is taken down. And so, of course, the thought that this would have been sent into authorities, and quite frankly, anything that is concerning should be sent into authorities for them to at least take a look. Trevor, to you, Rev, thank you. I don't know if you remember all of that, but I very much remember that. Of course, much like the Nancy Guthrie case, the Idaho case, you know, every single day was on top of that case. And I remember listening to it, and I wasn't convinced in any way that that was Brian Koberger or the murderer, so forth. I think for me, I'm just letting you know this, that for me, the whole thing, I'm just going to be honest, the whole thing seemed just kind of creepy and weird. And I'll probably just keep it at that. But nevertheless, I really don't think that person was involved. I think whoever is involved, we've been talking a lot about wrench attacks and what they mean, where people attack individuals and kidnap them, trying to get cryptocurrency. It doesn't have to be from the person that they kidnap, by the way. I think that's really been misunderstood, what I'm trying to say. Oftentimes, it is a relative, a father, somebody else that can somehow have that relationship that could result in a key, the key to the crypto being provided. So nevertheless, we've been really exploring that. And I hope law enforcement, I would think law enforcement has looked into it and would very deeply be exploring that possibility. But I wanted to talk about, I'll just look up here and make sure there's nothing else about that interview that was a little creepy. So anyway, I don't think that this guy, whoever is involved, is calling up any YouTube channel. I think that's pretty much the bottom of their priorities. Do I think they're monitoring them? Absolutely. I showed you, I think I put the picture up of the one of the screenshots of the different programs that Brian Koberger was watching. And one of them was actually one I was on and where I was talking. And also, as I recall, I think he was following me and Nancy Grace, if I recall. In any event, I only bring that up to say, yes, that's what these people do. They're wackadoodles. And they also need to keep close tabs on not just what YouTubers think, but what is in mainstream media. And mainstream media is running out. So social media, they're going to be looking at that closer just to try to see if people are on the right track, what people might be saying. And I really do think that certain people, in fact, I know this for a fact, have received ransom notes outside the ones everyone has heard about. I know that for an absolute fact. So you can bet that there is a watchful eye, I think, of people that could be involved in this and other people that just would like to be on the outside trying to scam, you know, trying to exploit the Guthries for money in any way they can that don't have anything to do with the abduction, but have to look, but have everything to do with trying to exploit the situation. Anyway, I wanted to get on to a couple of other cases. And as I said, I'm not only going to be talking about wrench cases, we've been talking about that a lot, and wrench to me, it's only just saying you want cryptocurrency as your ransom, form of ransom payment. That's how I'm thinking about it. There are certain modus operandi, though, in a lot of wrench cases. We talked about the one in Scottsdale, which is a cookie cutter wrench case, where they're directed by people that are part of an organized crime ring, I believe. And then you get two mopes that don't even know each other to travel 600 plus miles to target people that they believe have keys to cryptocurrency accounts. You beat them up, you tie them up, and you try to get them to give you the key because physically they just can't take the torture anymore. So they give it up. And then other individuals, I talked about one case in our last show, were actually the father of a cryptocurrency. Somebody who had cryptocurrency was taken, and they demanded ransom. Fortunately, that plot got spoiled, but not before the father that was taken had his finger cut off. And, you know, these ransom demands, again, were made with cryptocurrency. I've talked about how over $800 million of cryptocurrency has been paid in 2024 for ransom. And in 2023, it was over $1 billion. So the fact that it's not talked about much doesn't mean that this doesn't go on. And I think that this has to be considered as a possibility in this case, particularly based on the sophistication of those notes, right? The sophistication of the notes, not being able to be traced by law enforcement, and communication not being able to obviously go in the opposite direction that the notes came in to these media outlets and TMZ. But I don't want to digress from other, you know, possibilities, if you will. In other words, other situations that in some ways mimic Nancy. And so I want to talk about a couple of cases because I think they're interesting cases. I really haven't seen people talk much about similar, very similar cases. I mean, a little bit, I've talked about a couple of cases, one in South Carolina that I talked about, but to me, it wasn't as similar. I want to talk about two cases that are a little bit more similar, but then I'm going to tell you who the perpetrators ended up being, because in each one, they were very different. And certainly this is, it's interesting. So I want to talk about the first woman. Her name was Hazel Abel. She was 86 years old. This took place in Washington State, for any of you who might have heard or know about this case. So here in the United States. And this was really bad. So the ruse was to knock at the door. The door was open. She opens up the door. The perpetrators, there were three of them, rush her, throw her to the ground. They bind her. They put something over her head. Again, just in my experience, typically when you kidnap and you take somebody, you put something over the head, you also gag them. The fact that there is expirated blood that would seem to be from a mouth or nose orifice, it seems to go against the idea of being hooded or gagged, possibly. Not that she would have never been hooded or gagged, but not in the house prior to being taken out. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, other than the fact if she was unconscious. And I'm just pretty convinced of that now, that she was likely unconscious. And that's why she was able to expirate blood. She was alive and then be taken to that vehicle where I believe she was likely placed in the trunk. There is no perpetrator that is stupid enough to put her in the car and risk getting pulled over or another person. I know the time of night it was. I know the routes that could have been taken. I know that it's black in that part of the world. But at some point, unless they drove at some point into the desert and across, you know, to Mexico in some obscure way like that, I believe that at some point that vehicle with her would have been in a more public or highway type situation. So in any event, to keep on Hazel Abel. So in any event, oh, I forgot to say, when they opened the door, they actually threw dirt in her face. I mean, it's just so amazing to me, this 86-year-old woman. Let me put a picture of her up here so you can see what Hazel looked like. She's so sweet. And they actually abducted her dog, too, which I actually think that's the only kind part of that. Her little chihuahua there. I guess it's not little. I think it's a chihuahua. I'm not sure. It looks like a mixed breed of some nature, but it was listed as at least part chihuahua. I mean, she is just adorable, isn't she? You know, I look at this picture and I think what she went through, dirt in the face, abducted, thrown in the trunk. You could see on her hands too. It's what we always talk about. I don't know if she's on blood thinners or not, but as people age, their skin gets so thin like that. And you can see, you know, some bruising on the hands. But nevertheless.
Hello, it is Ryan. And I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me. And you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How she got away is so incredibly brave. They drove clear to Oregon. So hundreds of miles, again, they abducted her, drove her to Oregon, and I'm leaving a cliffhanger as to who did this, whether it was a stranger or whether it was somebody she knew. They end up stopping at a Walmart and going inside, the perpetrators, all three, leaving her in that trunk. Again, she was in the trunk. She was able to actually undo her tied hands. Lucky, probably, again, I see how frail she is. I can just see them being so unsophisticated and not realizing how tight you have to put any sort of, whether it's zip ties or ties, handcuffs. You know, it's interesting because when we do arrests, we make sure to double lock so they can't get tighter. But I make those so tight because there's been so many instances that I know about where people get their hands out. And we even practice at Quantico how easy it is to get your hands out of handcuffs if they're done even a little bit loose. So I always say handcuffs were never meant for comfort and they should always be tight. And anyway, she made this great escape by being able to find an emergency pole to pop open the trunk and to get out. And she ran into the Walmart and got help and was rescued. The three perpetrators took off. By the way, they took her in her car. They abducted her in her own car. And they ended up being found based on a bunch of surveillance footage and other things. Obviously, they were in her car. So this was an abduction by somebody she knew. In fact, it was such a betrayal because it was her great-grandson. And I mean, grandson. I can't fathom. I can't fathom doing this to your blood relative, but it happens all the time. I mean, let's face it, not necessarily with 80-year-olds, but certainly with kids. And so I understand why a lot of people don't believe anything that it could be a stranger type situation. In other words, an organized ring. And this is part of the reason, because there's a familiarity, a targeting. And the question is that targeting done because of the wealth of Savannah Guthrie and the easy access to Nancy Guthrie, the way she was definitely spotlighted on the Today Show multiple times, even making her bed in her own room so a perpetrator could see this room. I know this was, I believe it was 9 years prior, but it doesn't matter. I believe strongly that likely the same bed, her linens might have changed. I bet that picture's still up there and her tables are still the same, because people who have lived in a home like that for 50 years, she had it the way she loved it and the way she felt comfortable, and a meticulous person. You know, some people are messy, some people aren't. Nancy Guthrie was not messy. She was meticulous. If you watch this video, you will see that part in her personality, and you can just tell how she presents. She presents so well put together, I call it. She was out there. And so the question remains, was she targeted by a group like this, which would have been very easy to get the necessary information to understand the wealth involved? And if that was the case, was a mope basically hired to do this horrible thing? Again, there's a walkie-talkie that I believe to be in his pocket right there. And I'm very, very convinced of that. But the question is, who was he speaking to? Was it the, would it have been the puppet masters or somebody helping him? When you look at all of this, the only person you ever see on camera, and I really love the fact that Mac pointed that out first. It's such a great point, because you have cameras, you never see two people. Even the cameras that are out on that roof that the FBI sees several days later when they went up on the roof, this camera, the footage from what people believe are 111, which I think is very likely, you know, when the site survey went on later or before the event, or possibly it could be from the night before, but he did not have his holster. He did not have his backpack on. He did not have his gun. I think the shoes look different to me, as well as the coat or the shirt. You only see one person, everyone. And I love this point, because that tells me a lot. In other words, what it tells me is that if there's somebody else involved, which I do believe there was somebody else involved, minimally the puppet master, they were communicating with them and they weren't seen on camera. And this door camera was taken off. Then the perpetrator, as we see in the film at 2:12, goes to the side, goes and breaks in the back doors, whether they were open, whether they weren't, whether he jimmied them. We don't know the answer to that question, because Sheriff Danos has said he's not answering that, to his credit, and walks in, grabs her. There is some sort of violent confrontation. It doesn't mean she was beat up in there. It doesn't mean it was disrupted all her things. But I think it was very violent. I base that on her aspirating blood. Or expirating, not aspirating, sorry, expirating blood. And I base that on, I believe she was carried out. And if she expirated blood, it doesn't make a lot of sense that she would have been gagged. It's possible, because, you know, a gag doesn't perfectly fit, and you would have openings in and around your mouth and your nose. So we don't know. But if she was unconscious, you would not have as big of a need to hood her or put a gag on her as you left the house. You could do that later. But it's really, really sad. I don't believe it was a jammer, but it is possible it could have been a scanner to listen. Next show, I'm actually going to put up, and I've done this before, but the different scanners and walkie-talkies. Walkie-talkies are the same as a two-way radio. It's so funny. When I said walkie-talkie, everybody said, that's not a walkie-talkie, that's a two-way radio. And I said, that's what a walkie-talkie is. But nevertheless, you can see an antenna. It's clear as day, sticking out. I did not put that picture up here, but I did, I know, last show and multiple other shows. So I'm really quite convinced that there was communication with either the puppet master or with somebody else bringing that car over, if he didn't park there in the first place. It was so dark. I saw somebody asking about a porch light. Listen, I don't think there was a porch light on. First of all, having lived in one of these neighborhoods that is a light pollution free zone because they want you to be able to go out and look at the beautiful sky. Because of that, people don't leave their porch lights on. They want it to be pure dark. And you can tell he's got that bite light in his mouth. I think the only amount of illumination would be from the Nest camera because they light up just a bit when there's somebody in the presence of the camera. So anyway, the perpetrators of this, yes, sadly, the grandson, his name was, if you guys want to look this up, Dylan is an odd spelling, D-Y-L-L-A-N Martin. And Billy Underwood was his cohort. And then there was a female too. She was only 14. Let me put these guys up. You know, just pieces of crap. Her grandson, you can see Dylan Martin. It's just so sad. He had ripped her off of $60 prior to abducting her. This was her home. And then this is his buddy. The girl was, I guess, pretty drugged out, but she only got, I believe it was, correct me if I'm wrong if you look it up later, but I think it was only 2 years in juvie. The grandson got 9.5 years. Underwood got 10.5 years. By the way, they are both out. They were released, I believe, in 2024. But this is a very interesting case because it does shine a light on the fact that a lot of crime, and this is why you start with the inner circle. This is why you always start with the people closest to the person that's been abducted or murdered. And their plans, by the way, she had no money. She had like $2. Their plan, and this is going to make y'all sick, was actually to murder her. That was their plan. So if she wouldn't have gotten away, you know, that was what they planned to do to her. They were tried as adults, thankfully. So they did real time. But that's one case I wanted to tell you about. The next case I wanted to tell you about. And again, there she is. She's so beautiful. The next case I want to tell you about, and this lady was a little bit older. I just like this picture because you can see the reflection of the interviewer in the eyeglasses. I thought that was kind of cool. Let me tell you about Hetty Braun. So she was 88. You can tell she's a little bit older. This case happened in Wisconsin. And this was really, really pretty organized. This case much, much, much closer mimics the case of Nancy Guthrie, because they, and again, this was before cell phones were prevalent. They cut her phone lines. This was well planned. They went in, they abducted her. They actually kept her for 5 full days. And, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. It was longer than 5 days, but it was on the 5th day. And this is another reason that this case actually mimics the case of Nancy Guthrie. The case of Nancy Guthrie on day 2, remember, there's the first ransom notes go out to the local authorities or the local media, 2 media outlets. Then next day, 12 hours later, so now we're on day 3, it goes to TMZ. And then another note too. So there's 6 notes out there that have been untraceable. In this case, this person on day 5, so he has her this whole time. He kept her in this cold, tied up storage, like abandoned storage locker place. Again, Wisconsin. And on day 5, he demands $3 million. So see how the similarity, it came in much later, but it didn't go to media. It actually ended up going to her mailbox. So hand delivered to the mailbox, because of course this was early, I believe 2003, if I recall correctly, was this abduction. So it's, you know, before all the, you know, apparatus we have now in terms of cell phones and, you know, fancy cameras and all that. But isn't that interesting that how this case was solved was that note, because he left a fingernail or a fingerprint as well as DNA. And that note led to her abductor. Now, the reason I think this is so interesting is, first of all, the age, the fact this was well planned, it was scouted out, the ransom demand came well later. You know, everybody is saying, well, wait a minute, wouldn't you send the ransom demand right away? Well, really, in Nancy Guthrie's case, it was. It's just there was no proof of life, I believe. And I believe that's why the whole idea of getting money was not going to happen from the beginning. And they knew that. The abductors knew that, I believe. But again, whether we're talking about someone loosely associated with her or whether we are talking about somebody that is more of an organized wrench type case. And again, wrench, where you're actually trying to get to cryptocurrency, which we know in Nancy's case, that's what they asked for. You know, it's not that we're taking facts. We're not rewriting the script. We're using the script we are given, the fact we are given. And I always find it interesting. I had a comment, something like, that's been disproven. And I thought, who disproved it? Who disproved it? I mean, recall, a lot of the source information is bad. We spent at least part of one session talking about the misspeak of one of the sources, or I don't know if we want to call it misspeak, but he was just plain wrong, talking about inside information regarding the different witnesses in the Guthrie family and what was said at the beginning. And so there's nobody that can say, except for the 24 agents and officers working on that task force and supervisors and supervision. I mean, truly, Chris Nanos knows if the wrench theory, in other words, a more organized theory with a mope that came to perpetrate the crime, that's been discarded as a theory. Listen, I think if it's discarded as a theory, that could only happen if you know, you think you know who did it. All right, guys, my cliffhanger.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
So who did this horrible crime to Hedy Braun? Rainier Ravenstein. I'm going to spell that last name. Ravesteijn. But this is what's important about Mr. Ravenstein. He was a family friend. Family acquaintance. I did a whole show on Tommaso Cioni. Not because, I mean, the point of the show was not that it was Tommaso Cioni. The point of this show is that it could be somebody affiliated with Tommaso Cioni, like this guy. Mr., how'd I say it? Ravenstein was German, as I recall. Ravenstein. You know, this guy was 45 years old. I know I might have mentioned this, but he was shackled. She was shackled and kept in a cold storage place for a long period of time. And you know what? She survived. She ended up dying about 2 years later. Mr. Ravenstein still in prison. But y'all, this isn't, and by the way, I think I mixed up the time frame on each of these. I believe, well, I thought one was 2015 and the other was 2003. Mods, if you want to look that up, if not, I will look it up. I've just forgotten in my brain, and I should have written each one was, I believe, 2015 and the other was 2003. This Rubenstein one, as I recall, might have been the 2003. In fact, that's correct. I believe the later case was the case of Hazel. And so, nevertheless, you look at Miss Hetty Braun and you think, 88 years old, how could she survive this? And she did. And I guess I'm just, first of all, I'm an eternal optimist. If you knew me, maybe you can know me through the show. I'm an eternal optimist, despite all the horrible things we all see and we report on and that's carried on this channel. I always like to hold out hope. And I think Hetty is the perfect example of hope. She survived, 88 years old. And she survived. Thrown to the ground, dirt in her face, her hands tied, thrown in a trunk, driven hundreds of miles. They survived. I know now we're at day, I believe, 111. Correct me if I'm wrong. 111. It's hard to hold out hope, but I still have a little bit of hope when I see these cases. So in both of these cases that I pulled, one family grandson broke her heart. And by the way, she actually fought in sentencing for both of those boys. She wished them well. She said, don't get in trouble when you're in prison, you know, be good boys. She didn't have an ounce of seemingly animosity. And I was thinking to myself, man, how much we can learn from her. I mean, she just looks as sweet as can be. How much of a betrayal that would have been. And yet she still held no hate for him. Or for Underwood, the accomplice. I thought, one of the big takeaways I took from her story. And 88 years old, surviving a cold storage facility in shackles for days. 5 days the ransom went out. Just really phenomenal. I know, again, we're well into, I can't believe it, 111 days, I believe. I think we're on day 111. Oh, and by the way, I want to say this because I saw this right up here. The faith was strong. Yeah. The faith is strong. And we know Nancy Guthrie, Savannah Guthrie, and her family have strong faith. And that's exactly what these two individuals who survived horrible abductions and horrible betrayal while they were being abducted, knowing their abductors, skirting death. It was their faith was a big part of it, which is pretty cool. So I'll leave you with this. These two cases I show are juxtaposed to what we've been talking about, which is a more organized ring that identified Nancy as an easy target through Savannah. And Savannah had the money, hoping that crypto, that they would get their ransom in crypto, because how much easier it is to to hide and to get. Even if they chase you, they figure out who you are, by then the money's gone like that in a blink. So, oh, by the way, everyone, our Bitcoin friend is coming back Tuesday. Please, please mark your calendars. Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, our normal morning show. I will be back in town. And so please mark your calendars, because I would love for you guys to ask your questions, because this Bitcoin, and I haven't, you know, maybe I'll do that for tomorrow. I'm still going to be traveling, but I'm going to try to do a show on a couple of Bitcoin cases that were solved and how that chain can lead to an arrest, and how a purported anonymous address can be discovered, who really opened the account and things like that. It can happen. That is an avenue. And you can bet the best SMEs in the world, they need to hire our SME, is working on it. But he's going to be here to answer your questions. And I'm really excited to have him back. I really am excited to have him back. Let's see. I wanted to see if there's anything else. Oh, yes. So I wanted to end on this. And that is that while I still think, for me, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense that this is something more organized, that this is a mope, and that would have been paid for money. He puts on his costume. He gets some seed money, goes to Walmart, buys all his gloves and his new $8 holster, his backpack. Gloves don't fit, can't get a hold of that camera, grabs this foliage, and you can see it's actually embedded. So this wasn't just waved around. This was used forcefully, I believe. Gets a good grip on that and yanks it out. Now he can't be seen taking her to the car. Again, the car would have been very obstructive because it's just too dark. So I don't really think it was to hide the car per se. I think it was to hide him as he exited with her, her state that she was in. Was she unconscious? Was she screaming? Was she gagged? Did she have a hood on? Was she bound about the arms and legs? He did something in there for, let's just say, approximately maybe 10 minutes, which totally falls in line with the typical abduction. You know, fairly quick, fairly quick. There's no 41 minutes spent in there. And this guy was in no hurry. I tell you what. Yanked the door. Maybe parked over in that neighborhood. Maybe parked right in front, to be honest with you. It's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face there. But I did want to present these last two cases because I think it's important to stay grounded in the fact that a lot of our profilers, including Greg McCrary that I had on, and I'm actually going to reach out to him when I get back in town, which will be next week. I'm going to reach out to him and talk to him about the wrench psyche of the wrench abductor. And when I say wrench, I very simply mean somebody who is abducting for the purpose of obtaining a key to get cryptocurrency. It doesn't mean Nancy even had the cryptocurrency. We don't know, first of all. We don't know. We don't know one way or the other. When you have $45+ million, remember I'm adding Nancy's 40 plus 5.4, I believe, of her husband's. There's people that are investing all of that, and they're making their financial decisions for them. And crypto is hot. So could they have had crypto? We just don't know about it. Of course. We don't know. But I wanted to bring up these other two cases to stay grounded in the fact of what at least many of the profilers are saying, including Greg McCrary, who I just have so much respect for. And they are saying somebody close. What doesn't make sense, though, are the ransom notes, the way they happened, if it's somebody close. Makes much more sense if it's part of an organized ring. And they were able to obscure with all the ways we talked about the IP address. VPNs. Public Wi-Fi. Proton. All these ways, especially if used in unison, it would make it very difficult to ever be traced. And the best are trying. And we're on day, I believe, 111. Still can't figure out anything with those ransom notes. Can't figure out anything with that Bitcoin account. Can't figure out the vehicle that went away. Isn't it interesting? We looked at a case from 2015 and 2003. And that 2003 case is so similar. And remember, that was a family friend. So we have one that was actually a family relative and one that was a family friend. And that is in line with the profiler's belief. But is this an outlier, everyone? Is this an outlier? Anyway, I just want to keep everybody grounded with the possibilities. It's all possible. Makes a lot of sense to me that it could be more organized based on the inability of the FBI to solve this case. But we shall see. We shall stay tuned. Everyone, thank you for being here. I am going to get some rest. I think I've had I got in at 4:30 in the morning and then started in at 8. So I am pretty tired. And I know it's late because you guys we started this at 10 p.m. Oh my gosh, it's late for you all. Oh my gosh, 10:45. All right, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you to the mods who are exceptional, as always, not only because they do a good job with interacting, but I think they're so informative. And just all of you in the audience, too. As I said, I love to look over and chat and just see you all chatting it up about different parts of this case and thoughts you have. And Tuesday, please mark your calendars. I know it's an early show. I think 10, but it might be a 9 o'clock show. We're doing his schedule and he wanted to go early because he works all day. So he's on Central Time, I believe. And I think he said 8 o'clock Central. So 9 o'clock Eastern, as I believe, but please mark your calendars for Tuesday. If you want to understand Bitcoin, you could go to the earlier session and watch, and he explains all of Bitcoin and your head is going to be spinning. Even though he says he didn't do a good job if he didn't explain it well enough for y'all to understand. And I tell you, he answered every single question that was in that chat. I mean, not the live chat. He went back and answered every question that was asked. So I'm telling you, before you come and ask him, you might look at that session when he was on. I probably had him on now 3 weeks ago or so. He's amazing. It's what he does for a living. I love people that do the job, not just jabber about it or teach about it. I want the people who are doing it. And he does it. He deals in Bitcoin, has clients, he's blah, blah. He's the man. And he also really cares. And that's why I wanted him on the show. He came from a tough background. He made his way through and he's a brilliant guy. But anyway, he cared enough. Believe me, I love all the guests we have. And every once in a while when I'm on a show, oh, I was just on Lynn's Warriors, by the way. If part of what you care about is about human trafficking, she was just at the White House asking Congress and President Trump for new legislation to help kids. And her whole mission, bipartisan completely, she's not on either side of the aisle. She is so committed to helping human trafficking, victims of human trafficking, kind of like a Tim Tebow, just less well known. I was just on her show yesterday, I believe. Yes, yesterday, I think, or it aired yesterday. Maybe it was 2 days ago. Please watch Lynn's Warriors if that's something you care about, if that's a passion of yours at all, because she's moving mountains. You know what I mean? She's doing the job. She's moving mountains. She's not just talking about it. She's not just a talking head. She's still working. And what she's doing is live advocacy for victims who are children. That's her bailiwick. She's really not true crime. She's really congressional legislation. I think she's been on a lot with Nancy Grace. I know they're close as well. But watch Lynn's Warriors. It's called L-Y-N-N-S Warriors, Lynn's Warriors. And she was so kind to have me on a couple of days ago. I've been on her show probably 3 or 4 times. And her husband has a radio show in New York City that's at night. It's like midnight to 4 in the morning or something. I think that's midnight to 4. And I can't remember what that's called. It's called like the Midnight Train. It has a real catchy name. But check that out too, because it's really good. I was on with him and I was shocked. This has been some time ago, but I was shocked at how good he is. Kind of like Joe Pags. I love Joe Pags too. He's really good. You know, just the gift of quick thinking and that deep voice that you want to hear. Anyway, check out Joe Pags. I don't normally do all this, but check out Joe Pags. He's great. Check out Lynn's Warriors, especially if you want to advocate for kids and those that are trafficked. That's what she's all about. And I think you'll really like supporting her. And so anyway, everyone, until next time, I appreciate each of you. May justice be served for the Guthries and all the missing.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No